you to think about what most families in America did. We laughed a lot. We got together with families. We reminisced. Maybe you watched the Dallas Cowboys get blown out on TV and find out they're not really America's team anymore. And you ate way more than you should. And then, depending upon your new tradition, maybe you went shopping on Thursday or Black Friday, where you tried to get as the greatest bargain you could. And in order to do that, think about some of the things that you had to do. You got up, set that alarm clock or your smartphone so it could wake you up exactly in time to get to that store that you wanted to wait for hours at in order to get that one special that you wanted. But then you wanted to look good, so you went into that bathroom where you had indoor plumbing and it was relatively warm in spite of the cold front that was coming through. You were able to take a shower with hot water, and then you went into your clothes closet where you looked at this racks of full of clothing and complaining that you have nothing to wear so that you can justify all the clothes that you're going to be buying in the next several hours. And then you went into your $30,000 car where it kept you warm on the way to the store. And while at the store, you got together with several other people so that you were standing in line of store A or you were standing in line of store B, and you communicated on your $300 iPhones back and forth about which specials you were getting and how much, who was getting the real bargain. And then after charging more money than you should have charged and complaining about all the bargains that you were not able to take advantage of, you decided that you were going to go home, where you stopped at Starbucks to buy that $5 cup of coffee with, together with that, maybe that cinnamon bun or something that was loaded with hundreds of calories. And then when you finally got home, you decided that you would turn on your big screen TVs with the surround sound. And then you would look in your kitchen with its microwave and its stove and its oven and all the pots and pans, and you look in your pantry, decide you have nothing to eat before finally closing out the evening. Now, did I exaggerate a little bit on the scenario? Probably. That was what makes it fun. Now, I want you to think about Thanksgiving. Now, chances are that when you did eat dinner together as a family or with friends, most people I know take a moment on Thanksgiving at least to say what they're thankful for. And you go around the table, and most often you're thankful for family, you're thankful for really the important things. But here's a question, here's a challenge. When you ate together on Friday, did you take the time to do that same Thanksgiving? Or when you ate together yesterday, even though maybe some family now is starting to leave and go back home, and maybe it's just your own family again, did you take the time again to say what you were thankful for? Were we as Christians, are we developing that thankful spirit that God wants in all of us? Consider these scriptures and the challenge they give us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Hebrews 12:28, let us be thankful and so worship God. Do you realize the implications of that scripture? When we are not thankful, or when we do not give thanks, we're not worshiping God. Psalm 30, verse 12, I will give thanks to you forever. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father. Now, when I read scriptures like this, it makes me realize that I don't always give thanks in all circumstances. I don't always give thanks to God. I don't have that thankful spirit that God wants me to have in all of life. And my guess is, I'm not the only believer in this room who has a lack of thankfulness as God wants us to have. So then the question becomes, how do we develop that thankful spirit that God wants us to have? Now, to help answer that question, I want us to go back almost 400 years ago. This is our second historical jump. I want to go back to when one of the first Thanksgiving dinners was celebrated here in America. I say one of the first because that what we typically celebrate as the first Thanksgiving dinner in America, chances are it's one of three or four that history would say might have taken place. But an Indian by the name of Squanto, that was his English name, an Indian by the name of Squanto was hiding in the forest. He was looking at a group of Europeans that were called pilgrims that had come over from England, and they'd come to settle in this land in order to worship God as they wanted to. They had attempted settling down in Hudson Bay, but they found the ground there so sandy that their efforts to farm had failed, and so they had gotten back on the ship that they had come across from England in, and for the last several months, they'd been living in that little ship, and they were running out of food, and they were cold and desperate. Over half of the people that had come over from England with them were dead. The rest were in danger of dying from malnutrition and sickness. So they began sailing, trying to find a new place to call home. Desperate, they came upon a clearing where it was obvious that other people had lived before. It had springs nearby and was evident that there had been crops planted there before. What they did not know was that this site used to be Squanto's village. About 10 years earlier, one of the first expeditions to the United States, what we now call the United States, had taken a group of Indians, slave, and transported them back to Europe. A group of Franciscan friars, Catholic priests, had rescued these Indians and began to teach them English and give them a trade over in Europe. And that's how Squanto came to be working in a shipyard in England, and by that time he had learned perfect English. But he was still homesick. So he managed to find a ride back to what we would call the United States. And he wanted to go home, and so he traveled, and he came to the site that used to be his village. And he found that every person in his village was now dead because of an illness the Europeans had brought over to this country. But as the only survivor of his village, he looks at this group of Europeans trying to settle. And it was obvious that the pilgrims were townspeople. They had no concept of what it meant to farm. They had no idea of what the right crops to plant were. No idea of how to prepare a home for winter that was coming. So imagine the pilgrim's surprise when an Indian walks out of the clearing speaking perfect English, who's actually been in England more recently than they have, and offers to teach them how to live. And so that's exactly what he did. He taught them about what crops they needed to plant. He taught them how to build homes. And he stayed with them for a little over a year, and the pilgrims gave thanks to Squanto because they saw that they saw him as God's deliverer, God's agent in those circumstances. Squanto died 2 years later from another illness that Europeans had brought over. But it was his knowledge that enabled that village to survive. Now, the third thing I want to do is fast forward, but still going back in history. Fast forward 150 years. George Washington is now the first president of the United States, and he makes this proclamation. And I want you, as I read it to you, I want you to think of the reaction that would happen today if virtually any politician would dare to say the same thing in public. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor, Whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, this 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of the great and glorious being who is the benefit author of all that was good, all that was, and all that will be. So read the very first part of the first Thanksgiving proclamation in America. Now, obviously, as we go to what we did this last weekend, it's obvious that we've begun to differ from the Thanksgiving. We didn't offer thanks for life itself like those first settlers may have. We didn't offer thanks for the basic benefits of maybe food and shelter and medicine. We don't have a country that gives thanks and takes a day to say thank you to Almighty God anymore. So how do we make ourselves a thankful people in a nation where Thanksgiving is celebrated as the day you get ready to buy something the next day? I want us to take a look at God's Word for a few moments, and that's why we passed out those scriptures, and to discover what it is that God Himself wants us to be thankful for. I'm going to call out the scriptures, and I'd just like for you to read those, and then we're just going to comment just briefly on each one of those, on what it is that God wants us to give thanks for. Daryl, would you begin with Psalm 92, verses 4 and 5, please? And read that out loud as possible. Psalm 92, verses 4 and 5. We thank God for His mighty works. Psalm 100, verse 3. Who has that? We thank God for making us. I don't know how many of us have taken the time to just see how a baby develops within the womb. But when you study the creation of a person, you can see the hand of God at work. Psalm 102, verses 4 and 5. Okay, I think I gave you the wrong scripture there. Okay. Let's see, Psalm 102. Let's see if I've got the right one. Let's just go on. Psalm 136, verses 5 through 9. We sang the song that is taken right out of Scripture. Here, it's focusing on the creation of our world and our universe. When was the last time you just took the time to observe some part of nature around you and realize the hand of God? One of the things that Donna and I did with some of our family on Friday night, we went to Natural Bridge Caverns. Been here 5 years. Didn't realize it was one of the top 10 caverns in the United States. And when you go down and you experience that cavern tour, you realize just the intricacy of one small aspect of this earth. And you know that God has to have been at work in there. How about Psalm 136, 24? And rescue us from our enemies. When was the last time we thanked God for the freedom we have in this country? When you read of what's happening with ISIS around the world, when you read of what's happening with terrorism and so many other different things, when was the last time we thanked God simply for the freedom to enjoy life, for the freedom to give expression, for the freedom to gather together in worship? One of the things I was struck by, and I don't know why it struck me this morning, we're listening to Christmas carols on one of the channels of the radio, and I was just thinking, how many parts of the world are there right now where you don't even have the freedom to listen to a song about Christmas? 1 Corinthians 15, 56, 57. What are we to give thanks for there? When's the last time we gave thanks to Jesus for giving us victory over death? Wow. It's an old story, but one of the stories I remember is that story of two sisters in Germany. This is over 100 years ago, and one of the sisters was going to be a missionary. And in that day and age, it meant that you would never see your family again, because chances are that you would either die on the voyage or you would die early in that missionary journey. And so as the two sisters are getting ready to see each other for the last time on this earth, one of the sisters is crying and not wanting to say goodbye. And the sister that's getting ready to take the journey says, "Remember, in Christ, we never say goodbye." Think about that. In Christ, we never say goodbye. John 11, 41. What do we give thanks for? When was the last time we thanked God for the privilege of prayer? Think about it. God calls us friends. He calls us His children. And any time we speak to Him, under any circumstance, He is there to listen to us and respond. When was the last time we thanked Him for that? 1 Corinthians 1, 4. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. God gave us so much, yet when do we give thanks back to Him? 2 Thessalonians 1:3. How many of us on Thanksgiving Day, as we celebrated around the table, gave thanks for our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Because if you think about it, none of us are here where we're at today. None of us are at our position in our maturity in Christ by ourselves. None of us are self-made. We are all here because of what other brothers and sisters in Christ have at some point contributed to our life and our growth in Jesus. How about for 2 Corinthians 9:12? And that's speaking about the service, the opportunity to give back money. God says our ability to give back is an expression of thanks. If we didn't have the job, we wouldn't have the money to give back. This is one that we may find hard to say thanks for, but 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Give thanks for the authorities. With the Black Lives Matter movement that is sweeping across the United States, with the demonstrations that are happening on college campuses, I'm not saying that injustices haven't been done. But where is that cultural movement to say, hey, rather than rebel against authority, what about starting to give thanks for the authorities that are over us? We could look at a lot of other scriptures, but hopefully I think we've seen a pattern forming. As we celebrate Thanksgiving this last week, I'm glad that we are able to have that opportunity. But as Christians, we have the unique opportunity not to celebrate Thanksgiving one day per year, but to celebrate Thanksgiving 365 days a year. And our Thanksgiving isn't because our family has traveled tens or hundreds or thousands of miles to be with us. Our Thanksgiving is not based because of what we have in our home. Our Thanksgiving is based on our relationship to Christ, on our relationship to one another, and so much more. Thanksgiving, as God intended it to be, has always been a matter of the heart and the action that results. That's why Alan Perkins says, a thankful spirit is one of the key distinguishing marks of a Christian. It sets us apart from the world. It makes us different. As a final encouragement for us to be a people of thanksgiving, I want to challenge us with a question and a poem. Here's the question, and it's really a very profound one. What would happen if tomorrow we were only having the things in our life which we thank God for today? What would happen if the only things we had left to us tomorrow were the things we thank God for today? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? And here's the poem that I came across. That if we want to be truly thankful people, we need to count our blessings instead of our crosses. Count our gains instead of our losses. Count our joys instead of our woes. Count our friends instead of our foes. Count our smiles instead of our fears. Count our full years instead of our lean years. Count our kind deeds instead of our mean. Count our health instead of our wealth. And count on God and not ourselves. My challenge, and the reason I deliberately chose this a few days after Thanksgiving, again, is I'm glad we celebrated Thanksgiving, and I hope every one of us in the room had a great and blessed Thanksgiving day. But I would far rather us be a people of thanksgiving throughout the year. And that, my friends, is a challenge I would love to develop. And so here's one way we can drive this all home. We are beginning to turn our thoughts towards Christmas. And we should. It's a great, maybe one of the greatest times of the year. But how about we combine Thanksgiving and Christmas? How about we make it a challenge as individuals or as families that when we eat our main meal together, maybe you eat it by yourself, maybe you eat it with one person, maybe you eat it with a great big family. What would happen for the next 30 days if every time we ate our main meal of the day, we took the time to do the same thing we did over Thanksgiving dinner and to share one thing, one person, one blessing that we were thankful for? Just something to think about. Let's pray. Father, our challenge, especially in a land of plenty, is to learn to be thankful for the things that you want us to be thankful for. It's so easy to look around us, to see what we don't have, to read the headlines, to be so influenced by our culture around us that we forget how truly blessed we are. Help us to learn to be thankful for your grace, for the creation around us, for the creation of children within the womb, for life and for health, for the blessing of friends and family and our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Help us to be thankful for a job, for income, for a shelter over our head. Help us to most of all be thankful for you and for the life that you give us each day. And to be thankful that even when our life on this earth ends, it's just the beginning of the best that is yet to come. You have blessed us, and may we in turn be a people of thanksgiving. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. As we turn to our invitation, we can truly be thankful for Jesus Christ, because if it were not for Christ, we would not be in this room today. We would not experience eternal life. We would not experience the opportunity of abundant life. If you have not yet experienced the gift of Christ in your life, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitation hymn. Let's stand. If y'all will lead us. If you have that decision to accept Christ or be part of this church, we encourage you to come forward.